Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. From the banks of the Ohio in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Ben Shoulders and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Good evening, Hoops fans, and welcome to Red Blue Hoops. My name is Ben Shoulders, past president of the IU Alumni Association of Greater Evansville, and your voice this entire 2016 men's basketball season for IU basketball. Joining me, they call him in the streets of Lexington the Big Cat, Mr. Evan Beck.
Hey, Ben, good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing really well. I tell you what, it's warming up outside. The ice is finally receding, and sidewalks are a little safer here in Evansville. And
I like it.
But it's only going to be warm for a short period of time. You seen the weather forecast for Sunday and Monday?
Icy.
Cold.
Yeah.
Which is a great time to stay inside with your family and watch some great college basketball, which we have seen a lot of in the past week in some wacky conference play.
That's exactly right, Evan.
I mean, not just the Big Ten or SEC, but the Big 12, the ACC. Four top 10 teams went down this week already.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a big game in the Big Ten tonight?
There's not, but there was certainly a big game over the weekend. Illinois beat Purdue.
Wow.
Huge. I noticed, I guess it was what, last night, 2 nights ago, I'm sorry, that Jaquan Lyle from Evansville, coming off the performance, which we'll talk about at Assembly Hall, had a triple-double against Rutgers.
That's crazy.
I mean, that, only the fifth triple-double in Ohio State basketball history, impressive.
He's doing well so far.
Impressive. So.
Well, to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in tonight to Red Blue Hoops. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet a question or comment at Red Blue Hoops. Tonight, we're going to discuss recent games. We're going to preview upcoming games, talk about some conference status. We look forward to your calls and tweet questions, and we'll talk about some predictions and also do a little coverage of the Evansville Aces and the USI Screaming Eagles. So, Ben, tell us about your past week and your games.
Exciting stuff, Evan, and we've got a great, great show planned for you folks. I hope that we get some call-ins, Evan, because there's a lot to call about, talk about, and tweet about. As far as our week, we talked last week about our one common opponent, right?
That was Duke.
You played them on neutral floor. We had to play them at, they call it Cameron. Some people call it other things.
That's
and we
a tough
got beat
place
pretty
to play.
Bad. Yeah. So now, after this past weekend, we have two common opponents, and that is the Ohio State Buckeyes, who you actually played them on a neutral floor, just mm-hmm. as you played Duke, and we played Ohio State at home. You unfortunately lost. Well, fortunately for IU fans, not fortunately for
sure.
you, but you lost to the Buckeyes on a neutral floor. I believe it was in Brooklyn, New York, by
the Barclays
seven
Center.
Or eight. I think it was under 10.
It was seven.
74-67.
Yeah. The Buckeyes.
And then this past Sunday on CBS, prior to the NFL playoffs, at 12:30 Central, I was there, fifth row behind the basket, with my family. Unbelievable. I'll say that right now, Evan. It was that first half, and I'm biased, but if you were a basketball fan, a sports fan, and know anything about basketball, every aspect of basketball was dominated by Indiana in that first half against Ohio State.
Second half,
not so much. I mean, second half, you know, whatever. But 48-18 at half to hold Ohio State to 18 points and score 48 on a team that was second in the Big Ten in defense.
Sure.
You know, and I've got a few quick stats. Well, one stat in particular stood out: 50-31 in total rebounds in the game.
Wow,
50-31
dominated them.
So dominated them. That was the only game we played. Because of that, we cracked the top 25 for the first time in a few weeks.
Was Crean sick that day, and you had an assistant coaching
the team?
He was
not sick. He was sick with great coaching, is what he was sick with.
Oh, hold on, Ben.
And did a great job. Dissected the Buckeyes. Took it to them. I will give credit again to Jaquan Lyle from Evansville. 1 point shy of half their points. 29 of their 60. Indiana ended up winning 85-60, and it was total domination. Speaking of
domination, we have our first call. We have Tomcat from Kentucky. Tomcat, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to be back this year. Y'all doing a great job. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Tom. It's great to hear your voice. And, you know, we heard from Geraldine the Cat last week, who we think is our number one caller from last season. I think that you're in the two spot from last year, if I remember correctly. So
I'm going to have to step my game up, boys. But I'm going to have to step it up. Hey, guys, Evan in particular, did you hear about Calipari having the boys over for dinner the other night before the lottery pick? And the life lesson that he taught those guys, are you on to that?
Yes, absolutely. Very familiar with that.
I just wanted you to illuminate that and elaborate on it for our audience, because it just tells you the type of character that Cal is and how he takes real-life situations and looks at life lessons. I'm going to back out of here. Guys, y'all have a great evening. I appreciate you both. Y'all doing a great job.
Thanks, Tomcat.
Tomcat, great question. And it is an interesting play that Cal – had on this week's Powerball, that Powerball deal took the country over. I mean, it was everywhere. And on Tuesday, before the Cats hosted Mississippi State in Rupp Arena, Cal Perry purchased a Powerball lottery ticket for each player in the team.
Uh-huh.
Now, before all you people out there start getting crazy about NCAA violations, each player paid him back for the ticket. But he used that ticket as an opportunity to discuss with them. His explanation was he wanted each player to realize that they were already their own Powerball ticket, because they had the special skill sets to have the opportunity. Again, it's an opportunity that some may or may not recognize in the future, but they do have the opportunity to be extremely successful by using what he calls their genius, which is their skill set. Some both on and off the court.
But,
so
you know, you talked about earlier, and I know we got another call, but you talked about, you know, earlier you said something about Crean being sick. And didn't you think that, I mean, that wasn't typical of Cal Perry to kind of go there on the Powerball thing.
That was what you're talking about is the video after the game.
That's what I mean. But it was still regarding Powerball.
He went pretty nutty.
I don't know. He might have lost it himself.
Well, he does after every game is he comes out after media onto Rupp Arena's floor, and he does his post-game radio show on the Rupp floor. There's about 6,000 to 8,000 fans that stick around for half an hour to listen to his show, because they play it over the PA system in Rupp. It's pretty cool. Well, he was telling that story, and he went nuts. You can go on the internet and look it up, but he was screaming, you know, play hard. You're a Powerball ticket, just going crazy.
Well, Crean does the same thing, but it's in the stands. We got C-3PO from Evansville on the call. C-3PO.
Is this a Star Wars?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
is this a Star Wars show or is this a basketball show?
It's the Mr. Knowledge. I think his nickname is Mr. Knowledge C-3PO.
I guess so, yeah, absolutely. Couple things, guys. First off, talk a little IU hoops here. My take is Saturday at Minnesota. It's early in the season, but I think that's a must win for the Hoosiers. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree, C-3PO. I would say it this way. We never, even going back to Coach Knight days, we never play well at the Barn. I mean, Minnesota, we just never do. I don't know if it's just a thing with IU or what it is, preparation or whatever. But, you know, Minnesota, they're not really that good this year. They're 6-11. They're ranked 198th in KenPom. So on paper, they're not that good. Richard Pitino's trying to rebuild that program after Tubby left. But I'm saying it this way. We never do well there. I mean, I'm going back to even late 80s, early 90s. I mean, 25, 30 years, we just never play well at Minnesota. And so I'm not taking that game for granted. I mean, on paper, we should win that game, and you're right. I would think we could start 5-0 instead of 4-0 in the Big Ten, but I'm not taking that game for granted. It's going to be a good game, and again, if it was at home, I wouldn't be as worried, but at the Barn, that's just a tough place for Indiana always to play.
I think in like 94 or something, they beat us by like 50 points. Do you remember that game?
1994, you're exactly right. I had a boy C-3PO. They lost by 50, 101-51, when Damon Bailey was a senior. You're exactly right, 94. I'll never forget
that. Right.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. So,
anything else, CP3O?
C-3PO.
Well, yeah, one C-3PO. Comment, too, about UE Hoops, too. What do you guys think about this Agidius, the center for UE? I think he's a legitimate NBA player, a late rounder, I think. But, man, he's pretty skilled. Have you guys been able to see him?
Yes, we have. This is Evan, and we've actually talked about him last week on our first show of the season. You know, he's ranked nationally in a couple of key statistical categories. One is rebounding. I think the other is double-doubles.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no question that if he could expand his range a little bit and his mobility, I think he has a spot on an NBA roster in the future.
I do, too. I agree with that.
I agree.
That's all I got, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you for the call. Very much appreciated. We have other callers online, but for you listeners, give us a call, 812-426-7400. And also, we have a stand-in intern tonight. Walker is at driving school. So Jim Gotze is filling in Walker's spot, and we need some tweets to keep Jim busy. So give us a tweet, at Red Blue Hoops. Next on the line, from Lexington, the capital of college basketball, we have the ghost.
Not true.
We have the ghost of Adolph Rupp. Go ahead, ghost.
Hey, boys up there in Indiana territory. This is the ghost of Adolph Rupp, and I wanted to give you all a quick and tell you how proud I am of what you boys are doing up there, talking about the greatest game on the planet, college basketball.
I agree with that.
The ghost,
Mr. Ghost, we appreciate. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to let all the IU fans know how much I respect your program, but I want to talk about Kentucky because, as you all know, that's where I coached for many, many years. That's a place very close to me personally. But that John Calipari is a very unique individual, and his actual winning percentage both in the conference and out of the conference is better than mine. And I'll tell you another thing about a little history is he's competing in an environment that's much more competitive than what I competed in. And I didn't even have to recruit like he has to recruit. We used to have boys show up at our gym down at Memorial Gym, an alumni gym, wanting to play for me at the University of Kentucky. And I was able to select from 30 or 40 people going out for my basketball team. And the boys that I cut, other teams were lined up waiting for them to get cut off my team so they could pick them up and have them play for their team.
Jeez.
So I want to just say, you know, I want the Kentucky fans to take pause and really appreciate what they have in this John Calipari, because he's doing it and doing it at a higher level and a more competitive environment than what I did.
Wow, that's some fascinating history right there, Ghost.
That's deep stuff, Ghost. I mean,
now, if y'all have any questions for me, I'm in the Deep South tonight. I'm getting ready to go down to Auburn for the basketball game on Saturday. And I'll tell you this, I was there at Auburn in that new gymnasium down there. It's a nice one. It's smaller than what they had before, but they upgraded as far as the amenities. But I went down there in 2012 with that Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist group. And I got to tell you, Auburn almost won that game, and they were coached by Tony Barbee, who, as you all know, is now an assistant at Kentucky. So I'm a little worried about this game at Auburn.
I tell you, Ghost, you know your stuff. He does.
Pretty good.
Wow. Well, Ghost, you know your stuff.
Hey, Ghost, what's the nickname of Auburn? Is it the Plains?
That's it. The Plains is what we always called it. And if you know, I've been going down there for many, many, many years, and it's a charming place, but it's a dangerous place down there to play basketball. Because I'm going to tell you what Calipari always says to all you fans, we are everybody's Super Bowl. That's a very,
very
appropriate statement, because I promise you this, Bruce Pearl circled that game on his schedule this year and showed it to his players all summer long. So, yeah, I'm going to be down there, and I'm a little concerned about that game because I do have a lot of respect for Bruce Pearl. He's a good basketball coach. He's got some pretty good junior college players in there. He's doing a good job. I think it's going to be a tough win for Kentucky. I got one more comment. I'll let y'all go.
Okay, thanks, Ghost.
I looked at the schedule this year. You know, the SEC is a little different than it was back when I coached. I mean, when I coached, we played a home and home with everybody. Of course, there was fewer teams in the conference. But now there's 18 conference games, of which 9 are on the road. And when I looked at the schedule for Kentucky this year, I predicted that they might lose up to 5 on-the-road conference games this year. Now, we've already lost one, so we've got 4 more.
He predicted 5 conference losses on the road.
Yeah, I predicted 5 conference losses for Kentucky on the road. So I think we're going to win them all at home. I think we'll lose 5 on the road. Already lost to LSU, I think this weekend Kentucky could take it on the chin.
Wow. Well, Ghost, thank you for the call. That's some Ghost. Of the most fascinating comments we've ever had on the show.
I mean,
I don't know if
spooky knowledge is the correct term, but Ghost is dropping some knowledge from the Ghost yard.
That is interesting. One thing I respect about Cal Perry, when he got the Kentucky job, he did a lot of research on Coach Rupp and read his book on coaching. And one thing that people forget, Coach Rupp is credited for some of the faster-paced parts of basketball that he introduced into the game from his coaching strategies. And it was interesting. If you go back and read his book and look at how they're playing the game today, it's very similar in regard to how to use the fast break, how to get the ball down the court with the least amount of dribbles, that kind of stuff. But anyway, right. Ghost, thanks for the call. So, Ben, back to your Big Ten stuff.
Okay. Big Ten's competitive. Maryland had a scare the other night. They eked it out, but Maryland still seems to be
they lost.
Or they got beat, but they had another scare as well. You're right. They lose, and then they had a scare. So they're proving to be, I guess, I don't know if they are the best team. I mean, they were third. They fell to, what was it, seventh? I can't remember what they are.
The
I don't even look at the real record.
I don't think they're the best
team.
Ken
Pom. But right now, you want to talk about Big Ten. Right now, Indiana is first in place in the Big Ten at 4-0. Iowa second at 3-0. And if we win Saturday, which I hope we do, I don't want to ever say we will for sure, because like I said, at the barn, we just never play well. We'd be 5-0, Evan, and
that's unusual.
I'll take 5-0 any day of the week.
That's now, unusual territory for Creaney.
Well, it's not unusual territory because last year at this time, we started 5-1, beat a seventh-ranked Maryland team handily by 20 points, and then we just nosedived.
That
so
was
I'm
after
not
the sixth game you're talking.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'm not going to get too excited this year because the same thing happened last year.
Yeah.
But I like our team right now. And Blackman being injured, I hate to say it, we're playing better without him.
I told you.
I mean,
last
I'm not
week.
Saying we are better without him, but we're playing better without him.
Well,
OG,
I'm glad you came around. You're starting to agree with me a little bit more.
Well, maybe a few times. Do we have another? Do we have a tweet?
We do not.
Okay, I thought we did. Evan. Before we go to break here in a minute, tell me more about what we have going on with Kentucky in terms of what happened this week with you.
I'll tell you what, before we get into that, let's go ahead and go to break in about 10 seconds. Callers, give us a call, 812-426-7400 or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
88.3.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Again, give us a call, 812-426-7400. Our phone lines are open. And the Twitter account is quiet tonight, folks. Come on, give us some tweets for Jim Gotze to take care of, at Red Blue Hoops. So, Ben, before break, you asked about what Kentucky had accomplished since our last show. And guess what? I have a news flash.
Evan's news flashes are like...
No, this is serious.
Go
Kentucky
ahead.
Won a road game.
That is
Kentucky
something to celebrate
won
for
a
you
road
Kentucky
game.
Wildcats when it's not 7-on-5. At
no,
yeah.
We went down to Alabama last week and took on the Crimson Tide, who are now coached by Avery Johnson. That's an interesting coaching hire, don't you think?
That is an interesting coaching hire.
I mean,
yeah.
Did you ever think you'd see Avery Johnson in the college coaching ranks?
Avery, no, I did not.
He seemed like an NBA guy forever.
Yeah,
so anyway.
Absolutely.
We rolled down there. I told you last week, I thought we could lose that game. But Kentucky, behind the interior domination of Alex Poitras, which doesn't occur consistently.
Yeah, exactly.
He had 25 points. We smoked Bama, 77-61. So that was a nice win on the road. We followed that up with a home game Tuesday night, the pre-Powerball Eve night. We hosted Mississippi State at home. And Mississippi State, Ben, another new coach in the conference, Ben Howland.
Yep.
How about him?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. He's
had a really decorated coaching career. He was at a couple colleges before he got the Pittsburgh job, and then from Pittsburgh went to UCLA. And, Ben, you're the historian in the group. Didn't he take UCLA to three consecutive Final Fours?
Three consecutive Final Fours, 06, 07, 08,
So
yeah.
So he brings the Mississippi State Bulldogs to Rupp Tuesday night. Kentucky got up big, let them back in the game. They go into second half. Kentucky gets up 20. They're dominating. And then they start playing that kind of blasé, non-aggressive, not passing the ball below the free throw line, Calipari offense stuff. And a 20-point lead shrunk to 3.
Yep.
But thankfully, Kentucky made some key collected some key rebounds late and made some free throws, which is unusual for our Kentucky team this year, and won by 6, 80-74. I think we're going back to the phone lines, and
back
we have
lines.
Either Tomcat is calling back, or we have another Tomcat. Tomcat, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Oh, listen, Evan. I don't like being second place to Geraldine the Cat. Just like
you, okay? You're competitive,
baby. I'm competitive. Hey, this is a question for each one of you.
Sure.
Who do you think on each respective team is your biggest impact player that you couldn't afford to lose and justify your answer?
I've got that.
Well, I know who Evan's going to say on his team. I would say that's a tough one on Indiana.
I don't think so.
I think you'd have to say Thomas Bryant, because even though Yogi, and again, no disrespect to Yogi, he's climbing up all the career marks of scoring and assists and threes and everything else. He's actually about to break the career assists. He's been a great four-year starter. I still think Thomas Bryant, if he plays the way he did against Ohio State and a couple other games this year, is the key to this team. And you take him off the team, I just don't see us –
Let me ask you a question.
As opposed to taking off Yogi, I think he...
Really?
It's a toss-up. Yogi or Bryant.
I mean,
they're both...
Yogi's your floor general.
He is, but...
You got that Michigan State graduate student, or Michigan. Graduate student, yeah.
Beal Felt, and they're all great. You know, Hartman, they're all... But Bryant and Yogi are the key. So I would say, if you took a poll, it'd probably be 50-50, Yogi or Bryant. I mean, it's one of those two.
I'm going on UK squad as impact player that we could least afford to lose would be Tyler Ulis.
I knew you'd say Ulis.
Now, I know some UK fans will argue. Some UK fans will argue and say Jamal Murray due to his scoring punch, but the last 5 games, Tyler Ulis is putting up, I think, this is off the top of my head, like 19.5 points and 7 assists a game. And you saw what happened to us when he hurt his arm. He hyperextended his right arm. We lost to UCLA, and we lost to the freaking Buckeyes. And that's when Ulis was injured. So he is my impact player of the Kentucky team this year. We're going to our Twitter account. And Jim Gotze, the stand-in intern tonight, passed along a ticket here from Matthew Beck that happens to be my nephew in Atlanta. He says, talk about UK's 2016 recruiting class, Ben.
Well, you do that, but right before we do that, I wanted to give an update. Earlier you said, are there any Big Ten games tonight?
And you said no.
Well, I said no, but I forgot about one.
Oh, you were
so
incorrect.
It was no minus one.
Okay.
So there is one. And the reason why this game is so important, worth mentioning, is Iowa is the only other undefeated Big Ten team next to IU. And Iowa right now is playing Michigan State, who's ranked 4th in KenPom. And right now the score is 20-13, and this might not have been refreshed, but at the last score I just received, it was 20-13 in the first half with 11:56 to go. Iowa's up. That's a huge game for Indiana. Now it's 20-15. I'm sorry. And Iowa's up, so that's a huge game for Hoosier fans, because if Iowa loses that game, which I would say they probably will, but you never know. Spartans are pretty darn good. Then Indiana will be the only team left in the Big Ten that's undefeated. So that's just an FYI, Evan.
Well, I asked you about that game earlier because one of your fellow Hoosier fans today at work was talking about that game. But
I honestly thought it was tomorrow night.
I know. I was being the Southern gentleman and not correcting you on the air. So, do you want to talk about recruiting or not?
I would love to. I mean,
tell me what
I didn't know that was going to be the whole show.
Tell me what you know about Kentucky's recruiting class next year, Ben.
I'll tell you what I know about Kentucky's recruiting class. It's the same as I hear every year. It's the best in the country. It's number one, baby. And every year I hear that stuff, and they're getting blown out by LSU and blown out by, you know, and beat by Ohio State. So some years it works out for Kentucky, and they win it all, and some years they go to the NIT and lose to Robert Morris. So I'm sure it's the number one, like it always is. But so what is it? That's what I know. I know it's probably number one.
Well, actually, right now, as it stands, we have 5 kids committed or signed, and those 5 kids – collectively equal Calipari's highest-ranked recruiting class since he's been at UK.
It's higher than the Wall Cousins class?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, they blow that one away.
higher than the day than the last
the
year's
twins
class
and
with
Randall.
With Colley Stein and them.
No, Colley Stein was a junior last year.
Or I mean, the
Carl
other
Towns.
Big man, Carl Towns.
Yeah. This is far and above the high.
Look at that.
Hold on now. I know you're a historian. Not only is that the highest ranked class at UK under Cal Perry, it'll be the highest ranked class in college basketball history. All right?
Wow.
Yeah. Check this out. The number 5, number 6, number 7, number 17, number 26 ranked kids, and the 17th ranked kid, Wenyan Gabriel, who's a 6'9" forward from Wilbraham, Massachusetts. He is projected to rise in the rankings, so it could get even better. And I think it sounds like Cal Perry could add one additional recruit to this class, the 6'10" center from DeSoto, Texas, Marcus Bolden. So we may get 6 kids.
Michael Bolden, yeah, he used to sing in the 80s. I remember that.
Well, we may get 6 kids in the top 26.
Wow, now it's 30 to 15. That's impressive, though.
No, it's a good class.
No,
it's a
I'm
great
sure
class.
It will be.
Looking forward to it.
And they'll probably all leave this year, so it probably will be a whole all new team next year.
Well, tell you what, this would be a fantastic segue to a significant rule change that was passed this week. This is another news flash. We need a little news flash, little sound effect in the background. That Ben, can you do that for me? News flash. So here's the new rule. The NCAA Division I Council adopted a proposal Wednesday that will give men's basketball players more time to assess their NBA chances. So what this means is they're going to give the student athletes up until 10 days after the NBA draft combine to remove their name from the draft list. So that's critical. It used to be before the combine.
Right.
Now it's up to 10 days after the combine. And to further that, only certain kids will be invited to the combine. So those kids who are not invited, it's basically them saying, we're not drafting you, so stay in school.
Now, this is big. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
This will transcend college basketball. It will change Kentucky basketball significantly.
A lot of things. Yeah.
As an example, Dakari Johnson,
he
would probably still be wearing the Kentucky blue and white right now if
Which
this were in place
last
year.
Is he the one in the D-League now?
Or he is. Yeah. So the NBA will invite a select number of draft-eligible players to the combine, and then they'll go through the combine. After the combine's conclusion, the players will get feedback about where they stand. Uh-huh. And the student-athletes asked to attend can work out with their college coaches from the time they receive their invitation until they withdraw their name from the draft. One other aspect of this rule change. Previously, if a kid put his name into the draft, that was their one shot. They could not take it out and then come back the next year. They changed it now. If you put your name in the draft, you go to the combine, and you decide to stay in school, it doesn't make you ineligible.
Right.
You can come back to school, play another year, and you can test the waters again the following year. So, I mean, this is a huge piece of, I don't want to call it legislation, but rule change in NCAA basketball that will have an impact on the quote-unquote one-and-done system that we have now. That it's not just Kentucky basketball that so many Indiana fans hammer me on. This is happening everywhere. Duke, you know, last year, Ben had three? Yeah, they had the Jones kid at point guard, Okafor at center, and Justice. They had 3 one-and-done kids in that national championship team.
Right.
So it's not just Kentucky. I mean,
I know.
Throughout.
Duke, I mean,
Indiana's had Vonleh as a one-and-done, and
they
had Eric
Gordon
back in the day when it was not even popular to do it.
Right.
But I'll read a quote here on this from the guy who was pushing this rule change, your buddy John Calipari, who's been talking about this for a couple years. Mm-hmm. He said, if you're not invited, you're not draftable. Draftable.
Draftable.
That's a hard word
draftable.
To say. Draftable. That's essentially what this new combine would tell kids. And if you're invited, you may be drafted. But either way, you're going to get the information from the horse's mouth. Not a coach, not a friend, not the barber, not the butcher. What he's saying there is, you know how all these kids have people in their ears?
Right.
You know, the kind of the hanger-ons, you know, back to their hometown?
No,
it's not coming from them. This is coming from the executive members of the NBA. So.
No, I totally get it. And we were looking up IU's recruiting class earlier. Our most recent pickup, I think, is going to be a solid player.
Oh, the Green kid?
Danny Green's younger brother. Everybody probably remembers Danny Green, who started on that North Carolina team that won it all in 2009. and has had a great NBA career so far, probably better than most people thought, but he can definitely shoot the three. But his son, Devontae Green, from New York, signed with IU a few days ago. He is not a top 100 recruit, but he's still a great player. He averaged over 20 a game in New York.
Did you say he's not a what?
He's not a top 10 recruit.
He's like ranked 163rd.
Well,
that's not a top 100. Let's add a multiple of 10 to your statement.
He's a top 164 recruit, and he's
I like
really
how you
good.
Spun that.
So Devontae Green. So he's the latest Hoosier.
Go ahead.
No, and so then, but as far as this season, all joking aside, IU, they're 14-3. They're undefeated in the Big Ten at 4-0. They're first place. Thomas Bryant's playing unbelievable basketball. Troy Williams last game had 23 points and played finally the game we've been waiting
for.
He
didn't have all the turnovers.
And wasn't out of control, right, and erratic and throwing the ball
much
in the crowd.
Better.
Yogi took care of business as usual. And then what about OG?
Hey,
OG
and Anunoby
is stepping it up. People like Bill Felt, Hartman, they're all stepping up. Robert Johnson has been huge on the defensive end and the offensive, but definitely the defensive end. So, again.
Do you know the Wally Pipp story?
Wally Pipp?
I think
we talked
story?
About this off the air, but yeah, go ahead.
The baseball player?
I know bits and pieces of it.
So Wally Pipp tells his baseball manager, I'm not feeling well today, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to set a game out. And guess who replaced him?
It was
Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
Who played how many consecutive games?
Yeah.
Isn't that?
And delivered one of the greatest speeches.
Was it the guy that had the consecutive game record? Was it Gehrig?
Well, and then Ripken beat it.
Yeah. So anyway, Blackman could be your Wally Pipp.
Well, I don't see the Blackman versus Blackman and Pipp, but it could be.
No, OG is a much better.
OG,
but team player. He's got, like I said last week.
I mean, the hall on Sunday was chanting OG.
I know.
OG.
I was like a prognosticator, like you were last week. He's got better defensive range. He's more disciplined on the court.
He's long.
Shooting
he's
well.
Long, a lot longer.
I just said more defensive range. That's what I mean. He's long and rangy.
Rangy. Is that a real word?
What is his wingspan dimension as compared to his height?
It might even be 8 feet. Let's go back to who you have before we got. Do we have a call?
No, we don't. Back to that rule change, though. One other thing. I like the fact it gives the kids more time to make a decision versus some silly.
Yeah.
Rule.
You know, I totally agree.
I mean, why not give someone a little more time to make a much more educated decision about a life decision?
Right.
You know?
Right. And, folks, when we go to – we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about who UK has coming up as well as and who IU has, as well as some of the local teams are really making a splash on the national
yeah,
scene. Right, Evan?
Yeah.
And then I think we have some more calls coming in, but – we'll be back here in a few. Remember, Red Blue Hoops, go Hoosiers.
Go Big Blue.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
Welcome back to At Red Blue Hoops. Give us a tweet, At Red Blue Hoops. Give us a call, 812-426-7400. We've got Sam behind the board back there doing a great job on
Sam
our second show.
Sam is rocking it out.
Sam in the house. We have got Steve Berger on the phone lines. Uh-oh, I see the orange pin back there.
We have
a call.
it's just a matter of time.
It's that central voice of Geraldine. Geraldine the cat, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Wonderful.
Doing great.
How are you, Geraldine?
I am doing really well. Sounds like you guys are having a good time tonight.
We are.
We're having a great time.
Well,
we've got some eggnog left over from the holidays and chocolate pretzels. We're having a great time.
I don't know how long that stuff lasts. You're taking your life in your hands with that.
What do you have for us tonight, Geraldine the cat?
Well, it's a little touchy-feely kind of question. You know, I'm kind of more into the human interest side of sports, always have been. But I saw a news story the other day about an old former Kentucky Wildcat who made a visit to an elementary school, I think it was, in Lexington, and it just got me started thinking about the legacy of UK Wildcats and how they kind of impact our culture in ways that sometimes is a little bit bigger than basketball or sports. And just thought I'd get your all thoughts on that and how you see UK Wildcats sort of impacting the landscape on a larger scale.
Wow. Man, this
Geraldine, is... Geraldine, I tell you.
This is a deep question.
You cannot...
Geraldine's getting deep. That's right.
You can only hope to contain Geraldine.
So, now, Geraldine, let me review the question. You're talking about former Kentucky players and their impact on the culture of Kentucky in their respective communities.
Beyond Kentucky, how they keep that Wildcat spirit alive, many years after they've left the sport, you know?
Sure.
They're turning into middle-aged men, and they're still out there, you know, working as Kentucky Wildcats. And
absolutely.
Keeping that spirit alive.
Well, it's a great question, Geraldine the Cat, and we really appreciate your call tonight on this warmer evening. I can tell you that... you know, I want to kind of twist it back to the coaches a little bit, because how former players interact with the program and those around the program and the fan base sometimes has a lot to do with the coach at that time. I'll give you an example. Tubby Smith was decent at keeping former players involved in and around the program. Billy Clyde Gillespie was absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. Give you a story. Tayshaun Prince came back for the Olympic Games wearing a gold medal representing the United States in the basketball Olympic Games. Comes back to Lexington, wants to play some pickup ball with the Kentucky team, and Billy Gillespie wouldn't let him do it.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. But,
so then
he was practicing for 20 hours.
Yeah, no kidding. Then we had Cal Perry come in, and he's totally the opposite. He's all about family, all about former players. He's gotten former players back on campus to finish their degrees, but – I mean, I could go on and on and on with stories about former players that I know that have been tremendous in their respective communities and staying involved with the basketball program. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on, we've had some other guys that are former players that haven't made the best life decisions, such as Richie Farmer, former Secretary of Agriculture of the state of Kentucky, ended up serving time.
Rex Chapman
from down the road in Owensboro, who mm-hmm. in my generation, he was the king of Kentucky. They say he's probably the second or third most popular player to play basketball in the state of Kentucky. He unfortunately became addicted to painkillers. No, he got beat up in the NBA pretty bad. I mean,
yeah, he did.
In fact, I saw him come out on the rep floor and do the ceremonial Y when they spell Kentucky. And the same night, the 75 Final Four team was being recognized. And I told my wife, Allison, that the 75 players looked much better and more healthy than Rex Chapman
wow.
did. And he played in 88 and 89. Yeah. So you're talking about a 15-year gap there.
Yeah.
I mean, Rex literally drug himself out to center court. His legs were terrible. But
I didn't know.
Addicted to painkillers, stole a bunch of stuff from an Apple store, sold it to a pawn shop. But since then, he's gotten cleaned up. So those are the bad ones. But there's so many great stories.
Rex always flipped the ball on the dunk contest, flipped the ball up, and then would go up and
two-hand reverse.
I loved that dunk. That was one of my favorite dunks. That should have got him to the finals against Spud Webb, but it didn't.
He was a great dunker, great basketball player. But that's a very interesting question about Geraldine the Cat.
Or Dominique.
I will say this, that the player I see most consistently at UK games that is the best at interacting with the fans is Kenny Skywalker, who happens to be my favorite UK player. And then right behind him is Jack Goose Givens. When those guys are around Rupp in the Hyatt Lobby, they never turn away a fan.
The night that Goose Givens scored 41 points and
Kentucky the night you were
beat
born.
Duke was the night that the B-Dog was born.
Remember the story? I figured out. See, your father was a big UK fan.
He went there.
And you were born.
He was
excited. He had you in his arms. He was running to the TV to see the Duke-Kentucky game. He dropped you on your head, unfortunately.
Well, if he did.
And that's how you became an Indiana fan.
If that's then I'll take it.
Tell you what, back to the phone lines. We have Johnny Versace.
Oh, wow.
What do you have, Johnny?
Hey, guys.
How you doing tonight, Johnny?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
Fantastic.
It's good to hear you guys back on the radio.
It's great to be back on.
Yeah, and I'm really glad now I know what happened to B-Dog.
What?
His dad dropped him on his
We
head.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I, wow.
I know. It was a rough night at the Shoulders home.
Johnny V, come on, man.
I mean, you can imagine how his father was so excited watching Goose Givens drop 41 on the Blue Devils. You know what? That game was played on Indiana's floor. They had to take Indiana's floor from Bloomington to St. Louis.
Yeah,
how about that?
That's a good. That's
so we won a national title on your floor.
You did.
That's pretty cool.
What do you have? One of the best four in the country. That's the real reason they.
What do you have for us, Johnny Versace?
Okay, so let's see. You guys were talking earlier about Indiana going up to Minnesota.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it jogged my memory on a story that Big Cat. You may have heard this before, but I know B Dog hasn't.
Oh boy.
How long has Richard been the coach at Minnesota?
2 years.
2 years. So
this is his third season, I believe, right? Two full seasons in this one? I believe this is his third year.
4 years ago. This was either 3 or 4 years ago. We were over in Louisville, and Evan probably knows this place, Molly Malone's.
Oh, great place.
On Bardstown Road, nice Irish pub, kind of sports bar. And we were there watching. There was a big group of Murray fans watching Murray play. I can't remember who it was, but
Racers.
Murray was on one of their runs. And at some point, I think Louisville had played that evening, and so Patino and his entourage comes in.
Uh-oh.
Of which Richard was there, and you know those guys are at the bar. And one of my friends got up to go to the restroom, and he comes back to the table. He goes, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you know, I went in the restroom, and Richard was in there." And he said, "So I observed that he zipped up and then walked straight out of the restroom."
Uh-oh.
Didn't wash his hands.
Uh-oh.
So,
wow.
That's one of my top pet peeves is poor
B-Dog, being
hygiene.
The dignitary you are.
Yeah.
When Minnesota comes down to IU, and I know you probably meet all the
We actually play them twice. On the 30th is the home game. Yep.
Be careful.
Well, I say, Johnny V, that's good advice because I'll have to watch where Richard goes on and off the court.
This has been an awesome show. We've talked about the ghost of Adolph Rupp, all the way to personal hygiene,
Richard Pitino's personal hygiene, and among other things.
John
and Evan's made up stats.
Johnny, that's a great story right there. You have anything else for us tonight, Johnny?
No, that's it. Great show, guys. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Johnny V.
Thank you for the call. Very much appreciate it. For you listeners out there, we have a few more minutes left on the show, about 9. Give us a call, 812-426-7400.
So, Evan, speaking of, before we get into some local stuff, who else do you have coming up?
Oh, boy. Let's see. This weekend.
This coming week, between now and a week from now.
This weekend, we're on the road. Yep. We travel to the Plains. As you remember, the ghost of Adolph Rupp was talking about. We're at Auburn on ESPN, 3 o'clock Central, this Saturday. So it's going to be raining that day, about 48 degrees with a 15-mile-an-hour south wind. So all you sports fans, just stay in, cuddle up with your family, watch some great Kentucky basketball. And then next Thursday, Kentucky travels to Arkansas for the Pig Suey cheer. And it's next Thursday night, and they tip while we're live on Red Blue Hoops. And I'm going to be dedicated to the show. I'll be here doing the show. I'll be –
good for you.
I'll be, you know, DVRing. They don't say taping anymore. DVRing.
Yeah, you can't tape it. Well, you could
game.
If you got a VHS out.
Now, Ben, if you were a sportsman, we would go watch the game together after the radio show.
We probably
show.
Won't be doing that after. Sorry.
Well, anyway, we're on the road the next two games. As you've heard me say, we're weak on the road, so we could take two losses in the next 7 days.
Well,
both games on ESPN though.
As I started with the promo, I'd get used to the letters NIT.
Come on.
On that note, we have two coming up ourselves. We've talked a lot about this upcoming one, and that's this Saturday at Minnesota. Then we come back on Tuesday and play at home against Illinois, who just beat Purdue. So
that's bizarre.
Well, it is bizarre, but it obviously shows that Illinois is better than what people thought they would be.
We've got a news flash.
We've got Evans beeping.
Number 16, Iowa, 45. Number 4, Michigan State, at home, 25.
Holy cow, Iowa's up 20, folks.
This is
how much time?
These are stats courtesy of Jim Gotze, intern.
That's almost as bad as IU Ohio State at half.
41 seconds to half.
Holy cow.
We've had 3 news flashes.
No, they're
tonight.
Up 22 now.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be a 30-point game like IU and Ohio State.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
About your professional career.
Okay.
Okay. Your boss, the one and only Bob Jones.
Yeah.
Who is he a giant fan of?
He's a big Ohio State fan.
So was there any banter last week going into the game, or did you like hide from him in the bathroom when he came walking in the hall like I've heard you do?
No, because you know why? Ohio football, they absolutely destroy us. So
it's kind of an even deal.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, Bob likes to give me a lot of grief about Kentucky. He didn't like Cal Perry and all that kind of stuff. So I was surprised I didn't get a call from him after the Buckeyes beat us up at the Barclays Center. But anyway, you have Minnesota and Illinois. Both teams are weakly ranked, but you're saying that it's going to be competitive, you think?
I think Illinois, they're 9-8. They just had their biggest win of their season, probably the biggest win in two seasons, over a great, great Purdue team. And that's going to be tough. So our next two, I'm not taking for granted, but I tell you, if we do win those and we go to 16-3 and 6-0, that'd be huge for the Hoosiers. And you have two as well.
Two on the road, Auburn and Alabama.
We're on the road.
We're doing the Alabama swing.
What are your predictions? That you're going to lose both of them, you're going to lose one of them, or you're going to win both?
Well, I tell you what, I'll say we'll go 1-1. You know, Arkansas killed – well, I can't really use that. Missouri's terrible. But they killed Missouri like 90-something to 50-something the other day. But, you know, we talked about that significant rule change earlier on the NBA draft revisions. There was another one made in the offseason that dates back to the Final Four last year.
Oh, really?
And I think I've already seen some benefit of it. They can now review certain plays under 2 minutes in the game. I don't know if it's just the end of the game or at the end of each half, but this dates back to the Final Four last year. If you remember correctly, there was a dramatic shot clock violation committed by Wisconsin that was missed under 2 minutes. The ball was in, I think, Nigel Hayes' hands.
Probably.
Shot clock evaporated. They didn't call it, and at that point, they were unable to review that play, which makes zero sense when the technology is laying right there off the side of the court. So that's one other rule change for our listeners to pay attention to, is that they now can review those plays under 2 minutes, which should make the games more fair down the stretch. But
absolutely. On that note, Big Cat.
Yo.
While we wait for – I mean, the phones have literally been steady again tonight. 6 calls. I got at least one, if not two, tweets this week recorded. So another strong night of listeners. At least we know we have 7 listeners. That's at least good.
I got a question for you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
When do you guys play Wisconsin?
Just played them.
Would you play them again?
We do not play them again. We only play them once.
Have you heard about the new – I must be on this rule thing this week, but did you hear about the new rule passed in the state of Wisconsin for high school basketball?
I did not hear this.
This is unbelievable.
What did it say?
You can no longer chant air ball. You can no longer chant scoreboard. And things.
What's the thought process behind that?
Because the children have become too sensitive. And these chants are now hurting the feelings of the basketball players competing on the court. So, Ben, the next time you're in Assembly Hall and you're chanting air ball at the Wisconsin players, they may shed a tear.
Wow. Well,
seriously.
We beat them by 1 point the other night because they hit a 3 at the buzzer. It was a 4-point game, really. But I did not know that until after the fact. I would have thought about that.
Interesting. Can you believe that?
That's very interesting.
Because I remember back in the day, I heard some stories when you played for the Harrison Warriors.
Oh, well, you didn't hear many air balls from my lefty
stroke. I think there was one I heard about when you played at Memorial.
Okay.
I think you shot 3 air balls one game.
That's
student
totally
section,
made up.
I am. I'm just making it up.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, sure.
Evan.
How about some local hoops?
Yes, local hoops. I'll go first about the Purple Aces. What a season they're having. 15-3. They've only lost one in the conference, and that was by 3 points to Wichita State. They're 41st in KenPom. And Evan, check this out. 3 huge facts about them. Number one, Ballantyne is leading the nation among career scorers right now. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Number two, Miscavicius, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the Big E.
You did better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Leads the nation in rebounding. And number three, assists per game as a team. Guess who leads the nation in that?
What?
Ace Purple. The Purple Aces lead the nation
in
assists per game. Exactly. Tomorrow night, Evan, the Purple Aces play on ESPN2 at Illinois State. That's always a tough one, and these players have not ever won there.
Okay, real quickly, we have a call, but USI is 12-2, 4-0 in the conference. They're 7-1 at home this year. They're hosting Quincy tonight. We're going back to the phone lines. We have Todd and Newberg. Go ahead, Todd.
All right, Big Cat. As promised, I just wanted to call in first time, but I wanted to get you guys' opinion here, you and Mr. Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, I need you to – I got a couple quick questions. We're going to have fun with it. You guys ready?
Ready. We have about 2 minutes, so go fast.
Yep.
2 minutes, Ben, to save humanity. You got a one-on-one matchup, Damon Bailey or Steve Alford. Go. Big Cat, one-on-one matchup to save humanity, Travis Ford, Richie Farmer.
Oh, easy for me. I'm going with my homeboy, Travis Ford. Richie Farmer's been in jail. He's fat and out of shape, can't shoot. Travis Ford wins.
Bailey,
go it away.
Bailey wins by nose.
Great.
Bailey wins by nose.
Great question, Todd.
I love it, Todd. Thank you, Todd.
Hey, this is Coach Mahoody.
And that's, yeah, Coach Mahoody. He's the man. We work together at Old National.
That's right. Thanks for the call, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you. Keep up the great work.
Hey, thanks, sir. Go Hoosiers. And speaking of Hoosiers, I want to end with maybe a little fight song.
Oh, are you kidding me? Hold on now. We can't do that for a minute and a half.
I could go for 10 minutes and a half.
Hold on. Ben.
No, I got a tweet. And it asked if a huge fan, Diane Combs, and she asked me for us to sing the fight song.
No, not happening.
Well, then I can't hear any Wildcat. No,
there's certain fan requests we can't fulfill.
Or whatever their ears are.
I mean, there's an actual law on NPR.
Well, Diane, sorry, I tried.
I read the revisions today in the NPR regulations.
The bylaws, is that right?
And it says specifically you cannot sing.
Kind of like your stats?
You can't sing the fight song on live radio. You can do it pre-recorded, but not live.
Yeah.
But, hey, this has been an absolutely
lot
of fun show.
And let me end, Evan. Kentucky 21, IU 22, and KenPom. We're right there. Both having very, very similar seasons. Only one team is going up. The other one's going down. You can figure out which one's going which direction.
Well, I love how you love stats.
Oh.
And if you take the four statistical rankings, that is KenPom, BPI, RPI, Sagarin, Indiana's average ranking is 30.5. Kentucky's average ranking is 19.25. I want to thank Jim Geise for filling in as the intern in place of Walker Beck.
So,
thank you to the callers. Thank you to the tweeters. We'll be back next Thursday on 88.3 WNIN.org.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel with producer Steve Berger, technical director Samantha Horton, and Walker Beck handling social media. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN, its board of directors, or staff. Or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, and certainly not Duke fans.